Names are so important. They give us a sense of identity. So consider the following questions. What do you call a man hanging on a wall? Art. What do you call a man in a cooking pot? Stew. What do you call a man in a mailbox? Bill. What do you call a man sitting in a hole? Phil. What do you call a man under a car? Jack. What do you call a man with a government subsidy? Grant. What do you call a man with a seagull on his head? Cliff. What do you call a man lying in front of a door? And lastly, what do you call a man floating in a pool? Bob. Somebody's good at this. From just this short list, it's pretty obvious that our human names can be easily misunderstood, misspelled, mangled, confused, or twisted out of any resemblance to their actual form. But there is one name that is heads and shoulders above all the rest, the name of Jesus. It's somewhat of a shame that in English we mispronounce our Lord's name all the time, since as written in English, it really should be Y-E-S-U-S or Jesus. Pronouncing its original Hebrew form, Yeshua, would be even better, but he doesn't really mind, for he is much more concerned that we actually call on his name rather than if we perfectly pronounce it. Yet while this name is above all other names and should be held in the absolute highest regard, in this corrupted, diseased, rotting world we live in, his name is all too often a cuss word. Its other forms, God, Christ, all are used in the most vulgar ways. Father God commanded us in the top 10 ultimatums. Actually, it's number 2 in Luther's order, so he essentially combines what in other Christian traditions are numbers 1 and 2. It appears as number 3 in illustrations and other lists, just so you're not confused. But we all know what it says. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. More familiar it might be in the King James Version. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We forget that God is holy. He is absolute holiness. There is nothing more holy than God. He is the epitome of holiness. And any and everything that has any holiness is holy because it has been touched by or made holy by God's holiness. So if something is holy, we treat it with the utmost respect, correct? Then why do we willy-nilly throw our holy Bibles around, treating them almost as if they were just another book? For non-believers, we're all too used to hearing God's name used in vain, and worse, all over the TV, movie, and electronic screens, and on our schools, workplaces, and many homes. Surely none of you ever blurt out his name in vain when you've stubbed your toe or worse. Even if you did, if you immediately confess the sin and ask Christ Jesus forgiveness, it's expunged from your permanent record. So, yes, Lord Jesus' name is of utmost holiness, while at the same time, this person is not only our Lord, but our Savior, our constant friend here on earth, an advocate in heaven. For someone so absolutely holy, he also constantly prays for us. He is our absolute closest friend, through Holy Spirit, is always as close as by our side, and actually closer within us, if we let him come in and take over. So his name is holy, but we can call on his name whenever and always. We are commanded to do just that. we realize that we can call someone's name in a respectful way or in a dishonorable way. If Lord Jesus is truly the most important thing in your life, if you love him more than anything and anyone else on earth, including your own self, your own life, then you will automatically speak his name with reverence, honor, and wonder, with your love for him dripping like thick honey from every syllable, Jesus. For it is with rapturous delight that we who are saved speak his name, and never absent-mindedly or flippantly say his name. Because not only is this name without any rivals forever and ever, this name is the one and only name by which the creatures called human beings can be rescued from this devolving existence on this dying planet. Yes, our planet is headed toward catastrophe. Nearly everyone will physically die off from this planet's surface. The globalist elites are glad to hear this until they realize they're not exempt. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be because of global warming, climate change, systemic racism, or any other ludicrous scenario our secular pagan scientists and elite class dream up. For the days of psychopathic, savage humanity violently rampaging across this world without restraint are swiftly coming to an end. The judgment of God is already being released little by little. For the Bible says that when a people that once knew God and then turn its back on him, convincing themselves that he never really existed, that all that we can see and are is just here by random evolutionary chance, why, that understanding of the world in itself is already the beginnings of God's judgment. God has peppered creation with an abundance of obvious truths, as he said in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. When people deny those truths, among them gender identity, they become fools, Romans 1:22 announces. Humanity, from the very beginning of time, has known who God is because he designed within us the very knowledge that he is. It is hardwired within us. Romans 1:19 states, that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. But as we can see, much of American, Western, and the emerging globalist society denies the truth. Thus, God's judgment falls on them. Romans 1:24 and 25 declares, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. God's judgment continues in verse 26. God gave them over to degrading passions, which is all manner of sexual immorality. Finally, the last straw of God's judgment on them before the final tribulation of the end times begins is announced in verse 28. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do all things which are not proper. They can no longer perceive truth and can't be reasoned with. We see all these things around us. Practically everything the political pagans pronounce are bold-faced lies. And yet, even with ulterior motives, once in a while, something true does come out. Case in point, Joe Biden's declaration that the massacre of Armenians by the Ottoman Turks during World War I was an actual genocide. Up to that time, it was the most horrific genocide in history. But World War II and the following communist genocides in many, mostly Asian countries ended up topping the Armenian genocide many times over. It was good that Biden made this declaration. It is a statement of truth. But it's the only truth that's come out of Washington, D.C.'s current leadership since they began. And so we see it. This is God's judgment in action. Like a drunken sailor, America is lurching toward radical leftism. During the previous 4 years of the Trump administration, God gave us a reprieve. Frankly, there are hardly any traces of it left. Did that short time awaken enough of the church to see what's now happening, to rise up and be the Christian soldiers the church is supposed to be? An oft-used illustration depicts the church as a beautiful bride, all adorned for her wedding to the Savior. But instead of costly, elegant high heels, she's wearing army marching boots. For that is what we truly are. Most of us here are past the prime of physical life, which makes us all the most suited to staff the Kingdom of Heaven's earthly air force, for our prayers are like bomb-laden missiles flying into enemy territory, the lands and souls held in the grip of hell. Our short prayers are like grenades committed for our local battles in our own metropolitan area and state. 2 weeks ago, we read of the apostles Peter and John getting arrested for the healing of the well-known crippled man in the name of Jesus. Hauled in by the temple authorities, they were beaten and arraigned by the Sanhedrin and ordered to never speak in or mention the name of Jesus ever again. They totally disobeyed that government order, and aren't we glad they did? In our day, so far in a mostly nonviolent way, we too are being told by the society around us to just shut up about the real Jesus. But we know that the only fix to the ongoing catastrophic collapse of our culture is just that, the name of Jesus. For as Peter boldly declared, you see how his innate tendency to yakety-yak is now just what the doctor, or rather the Lord, ordered? In Acts 4:12, God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Despite all the jabbering around us that we can be happy by doing this or that, believing this or that, taking this or that, there is only one way for each and every one of us to live in peace now and forever with our great shepherd. So never shut up about him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, your name is truly more wonderful than we can even imagine. It is magical in all the good sense of that term. It is powerful, all powerful. It, by its very nature, wields the authority of heaven on earth. And so we thank you for your name. May we always use it in reverence to bring the light of truth into this dark valley in which we're living. In Jesus' name, your name we pray. Amen.